This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
In a different way tonight, in honor of the program. Stay tuned. Listening to Sugar in My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones, and I have some guests that I'm going to introduce you to later. But let's see. I want to play some tunes first, and let's start. Let's start with another hot mama. That was Bessie Smith. I got this from a compilation of The Blues. Martin Scorsese presents The Blues, but you know, there are Bessie Smith compilations everywhere, and that was a different version of Need a Little Sugar in My Bowl. The theme that I usually use is the Nina Simone version, and I like that lots. But just thought I'd make a little change because of the subject matter, which we're going to be discussing later during the broadcast. And the subject will pretty much be, this is actually Women in the Blues Part 1. Part 2 will be sometime maybe later in the summer. But this particular part will focus on women in the blues and women's lesbian sexuality. And now, mind you, the music that I'm going to play isn't going to be from all, you know, isn't going to have, isn't going to be from women who identify as being lesbian. Not all of the music. It's just, you know, that's just the way it is. And a lot of the women who do identify with being lesbian do not, in their songs, are direct about being lesbian. So why don't I stop chatting and put on... Oh, what is this? Oh, put on a hot mama. I'm going to play Big Mama Thornton. Yeah, it's a hot mama. Stay tuned. Come on now, work with me. Oh, you want to be like that? Okay, fine. Okay, let's try it like this.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Oh, fast. Hey, hey. It's been a hard time coming.
This is Joyce Jones, and I'm speaking with Alexis P. Suter, who will be playing the lead in the production. What's the name of the production?
Blue Fire on the Water.
Blue Fire on the Water, and that's going to be at the Lesbian and Gay Center on 13th Street?
Yes, April 30th.
Yeah, so we're talking right now because you're not able to be in the studio with us live with everybody else. But I definitely wanted you to be a part of the program because you're the lead.
How did
that happen?
Well, it's really funny how it happened. And it's really, like, weird in a sense how it happened. Like, you know, to believe it or not, 2 months prior to even being asked to audition for this play, a woman by the name of Mickey Braden was doing research on this blues singer, Gladys Bentley. And she said, you know, Alexis, you would just be perfect for this part. You know, I haven't written it yet, not really. I was like, you know, whenever it happens, you know. And then 2 months later, I get a call from Nedra Johnson, who's a very close friend of mine. She was like, look, you know, I have a friend. She's, you know, the playwright. Her name's Renita Martin. She's, you know, holding auditions for this play, and you would be perfect for it. And when I got there, and they said it was about the life or times of Gladys Bentley. So how I got into it is Nedra actually asked me to come down and audition for the part, and I got it, but it was already in the universe.
Okay, that's right.
You know what I mean?
That's
it
right.
was already there.
Mickey Braden is a... Tell us about Mickey Braden, just quickly.
Mickey Braden is one of my mentors.
Okay.
I used to be in a group with her called The Pack. She was the leader of The Pack, Performance Art Chorale.
Right.
And she's an accomplished, way accomplished blues singer, jazz singer. And she's currently doing a show called The Devil's Music about the life of Bessie Smith.
Oh.
So, you know, she's definitely... been a big force in my life when it comes to a lot of musical things and acting and stuff, you know, stuff like that. And she's also the musical director at New Brunswick Unity Fellowship under Reverend Kevin Taylor.
Okay.
So, you know, I get to see her a lot and talk to her a lot. And she's also, like, going to be coaching me on this part as well to help me get this part together.
Oh,
you
excellent,
know?
Excellent.
So, you know, a lot of people know of Mickey Braden. She's really, you know... Well
yeah,
known.
I just thought I'd introduce her to the sugar in my bowl audience.
Yes.
Okay.
She will put some sugar in your bowl, baby.
So, were you familiar with Gladys Bentley before the project was brought your way?
Not at all.
Neither was I.
Like, Mickey had sent me some stuff, and I looked at it on the internet for like 1 second because it was like all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went to Google and Googled her and went to images.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so crazy because we resemble each other so much.
Right.
And in the show that I do, I wear a top hat.
You do indeed. That's how you open the show, with a top
right,
hat.
Right, and she... Gladys Bentley wore mm-hmm. a top hat.
She wore a tuxedo and a top
absolutely.
Hat.
Absolutely. And it just blew my mind. So I just feel like this is just definitely for me.
Well, when Iona Sky had told me about Renita Martin's production,
mm-hmm.
and she had mentioned that you were going to be in the performance, it just, everything was clear. It's like, oh, perfect. Yes.
Yeah,
I was in agreement.
Yeah. I'm totally, like, in it. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? And my girlfriend, Lisa Renee Nelson, she's, you know, really helping me and preparing me and just giving me all kinds of affirmations and things. And I'm just really just trying to prepare myself for this because, to me, this is really a big, big thing, and I really want it to be the best, and I really want to be the best that I can be mm-hmm. in doing this part, representing this woman, mm-hmm. you know, who did so much, you know, as a man, you know, so.
Well, she actually, from what I have learned, had a union.
Yes, she did. She married a woman. I believe she went across state lines. I think she went to Washington or something like that. But she actually did marry a woman.
Right.
She did. Right.
But I understand a lot of the recordings that she, you know, there are artists now like Nedra Johnson and several other folks in this piece I'll be discussing later with Dr. Maria Johnson. Jelly roll,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Lesbian sexuality in the blues. There are artists out now that sort of work around the lyrics of the blues songs from the 20s and the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they're writing their own as well, and mm-hmm. where they express their sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When I spoke to you earlier today, I think that's not something you just do. I mean, you express love, but you...
Yeah,
you know.
But see, you know what? The thing with my music and mm-hmm. when I sing, and mm-hmm. if you ever come to a live show,
right.
I don't hide who I am.
Right.
And I definitely, like, if my girlfriend is there, I will definitely dedicate a song to her. Mm-hmm. I definitely use the she and I in my lyrics.
Okay.
You know, I don't, you know, like, of course I do... lyrics that says my man, this, you know, that's part of doing the blues as well, but I also acknowledge my sisters.
Okay.
You know, there's just no way, I mean, come on, there's no way I'm going to get up there and just not acknowledge my sisters or me or
right.
my lifestyle,
right.
you know. So, I mean, if you can't look at me and tell, well, then I don't know what to tell you. You know, I really don't know what to tell you.
And that's
but,
why
you know.
Everyone needs to go to the Lesbian and Gay Center on
yes.
the 30th.
Yes,
and catch
absolutely.
The performance, so you will see, if you haven't seen Alexis P. Suter by now, you
absolutely.
Will see her then and experience
absolutely.
Alexis P. Suter, because you are an experience.
Oh, thank you so much.
And a wonderful, and I've seen you perform. I've seen you at the Cutting Room.
Yes,
yeah.
yes, yeah, it's not there anymore. The
right.
Cutting Room, they moved.
Right,
yeah.
But I hope we'll be able to catch you somewhere in Manhattan.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to be at
in
Sullivan
Brooklyn.
Hall soon.
Oh,
I'm going to
okay.
be a few places. So
oh, excellent. Excellent.
It's coming up. It's coming up.
So if people want to find out more about you, where do we go?
AlexisPSuter.com. That's
okay.
with one T.
Okay.
AlexisPSuter.com. And I'd like to say one thing real quick. I'd like to thank Renita Martin for doing this. For having the quote unquote kahunas to do this, you know, because there are people that really need to get into history.
Exactly.
Like a lot of people think the gay and lesbian thing just started. It's been here a long, 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 long time.
Right.
And people have been representing us in music, in art, in theater for a long time and never got the recognition they deserved. And it's people like Renita Martin, who is pulling that out and putting it in the forefront so people can know that, you know what, these people made a way for us to be able to be out and proud. And I wanted to also thank Michael LaLand for his direction and his vision by taking this writing from Renita Martin and making it come to life. And I definitely want to thank him for that. And, you know, everybody that I'm working with, also I want to thank them for, you know, helping me to get through this as well. So, again, just thank you, everybody. Thank you, everyone that's involved. And I hope that, you know, it turns out great and we do what we have to do.
Well, thank you very much, Alexis P. Suter.
Thank you, Joy.
And thank you. I am so grateful. And as many of us who can will be at the Lesbian and Gay Center on
yes.
April 30th.
Please, because the tickets are selling out fast. They are.
Well, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
I really got you. My imagination. Thank you. since that day. I woke up and found that you were gone. Darkness all around me. Blacking out the sun.
That was Alexis P. Suter, everybody. A partial experience. Let's see, I've got guests here. Their mics are on now.
Hello.
Hey
Hello.
There. Hey there. So just so everyone knows what happened, let me read back what happened. That was Imagination from Just Another Fool, Alexis P. Suter's most recent recording, her most recent release. And I think it was released in 2008, yes. And you can find it in your usual music shopping places. That's Just Another Fool. That's the name of the release. That was Imagination. You might have recognized, kind of, sort of, that Gladys Knight had performed it. But this was Alexis P. Suter, which is someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, we heard a conversation between myself and Alexis P. Suter. As I mentioned, she wasn't able to join us in the studio tonight, but she still joined us for the program. Yay. Had to hear from her. And before that, we heard another recording from Just Another Fool, High Times. And I'd like to thank... Come on now, you know who you'd like to thank. Liquid Sound Lounge's Jeannie Hopper for helping me get my hands on Alexis P. Suter's recording. So thank you, Jeannie. Before that, we heard CeCe Ryder, Ma Rainey. And before that, we heard Hound Dog from Big Mama Thornton. And in the studio, see, I had made a mistake when I was chatting with Alexis P. Suter about... I mentioned Ione Sky. I think I said Iona Sky. And it's actually Ione?
Ione.
Mm-hmm. Ione Lloyd. Who is the... Go ahead.
I do script selection for the center. And I also work with Rhythm Visions Production Company as their producing director.
Okay. Now, the work that you're doing for the center, how did that happen?
I had a piece up, Black Tale, in January, which was a black fairy tale retelling of everyday life in the hood with a cast of 12 women, including Radon Chong. And after... that amazing moment, the center asked me to help them select scripts.
Okay, well, I'm sorry.
Renita Martin.
Yes.
Tell me about yourself.
Well, I'm the playwright. I wrote Blue Fire on the Water, and I'm executive director of Rhythm Visions Production Company. This play has followed me for years, but it was shortly after Katrina that it sort of hit me that what it was actually about. And let me just say that Alexis P. Suter is off the chain.
She's amazing. She's a force to be reckoned with, as is this piece.
So how did you decide that... Tell me you didn't just say that. Why you decided... God. You know, I was taking care of some other... program business just now, and that's just... But yes, Alexis is a force to be reckoned with.
Yes.
We actually, Alexis and I used to sing. We also sang in a group together. It was called Illumination Chorale.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and Alexis used to one song that they would have Alexis sing constantly. It was called Battlefield. And it was like, I'm on the battlefield.
Oh,
yes, yes. Uh-huh. And she would. You would. She is just so. In her delivery, so genuine,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
as a human being, she's mm-hmm, genuine. So it's mm-hmm, like, when I found out that Alexis was in the piece, it was just, like I said, and when I talked to Alexis, I thought she was perfect, too. Mm-hmm. I agreed with you.
Oh, yeah, she was absolutely, and when she came in for the audition, it was so funny. It was Michael Leland, who, as Alexis mentioned, is a phenomenal director. He's from the Lincoln Center Lab Directors.
Okay.
And, I think me, Michael, and Charette Gregg, who's a wonderful actress in her own right, and also serving as a stage manager on this piece, were in the room. And Alexis comes in, and so we see, you know, she looks like she could, you know, do some things. And she sits down at the piano, and Michael says, you know, just sing a song. And she starts singing. The stage manager just threw her pen across the room. You know how we throw.
Right, throw shoe.
Yeah. And we said, that's it. Mm. And fortunately, you know, the process has been Jennifer Fouché, who plays Maybelle in the piece, is a phenomenal vocalist too, and the playing that Alexis and Jennifer get mm-hmm. to do together is just it's more than I could have ever imagined. And then David Marcuse, who plays the business manager, is a phenomenal actor as well. So it's a love triangle, and it's hot, it's smoking.
So it's based on the life of Gladys Bentley, or it's based on the tell me.
Yeah, it's loosely based on the life of Gladys Bentley, and sort of a combination of merging of Gladys Bentley and Billy Tipton.
Oh, Billy mm-hmm. Tipton. Yes, he was a musician who had a pianist.
Right. Jazz pianist.
Long time career.
Mm-hmm.
Dressed as a man.
Right.
And mm-hmm. had partnerships and everything.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until he died that a lot of people knew. Mm-hmm. You know. So and you know, in the writing of the play, I started thinking about. Well, definitely I thought about, you know, sexuality and because that's inherent in the blues. Right. A few of the things I think that the sexuality, I like the fire of the blues, the rebellion of the blues. And I love that there's always consequence. You know, people think about the blues, some people, as just sort of whining about life or talking about how awful life is. But if you listen to the lyrics, there's always, like, you know, action attached to it. Mm-hmm. You know, C.C. Ryder, I'm going to find me a good man. You know, if he don't have me, he won't have no woman at all. You know? and even with imagination, you know, I got to get up out of this place. I got to use my imagination and figure out a way. So I always, you know, was attracted to the action of the blues. Mm. But I also was thinking about who might not have gotten out during Hurricane Katrina, mm-hmm. During the time Fats Domino was missing. And I started thinking of Gladys Bentley and people like that. Like, you know, would they go to the Coliseum? Would they leave? Could right. they leave?
Right.
You know, and if they did, who would take care of them? You know.
And this piece, for me also, reading it and working production on this piece, I see and feel a particular ache that this show makes you feel in conjunction with it. You know, the actors, the writing, you know, it's the ache of the blues, which is not dated. It's an ache that every woman of every color can experience and relate to, you know, your lover leaving, you know, your money issues, your heartache.
Especially today, money issues.
Especially, especially today. And then you layer that, you know, with black women, with lesbian women, you know, and with the devastation of Hurricane Katrina. And it's again, it's a force to be reckoned with. It really is. And also, there's the historical aspect. But, you know, for me, it's for all the women in this, you know, economic situation, being oppressed. That show is for them also. So for me, I feel it's also very current.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Now, this production is, let's see, there's a pre-show.
Right, there's a pre-show.
And an open bar. Talk about drink with your ache.
And Nedra Johnson, who's an amazing talent as well, will be doing the pre-show, so we're really excited to have her.
And unfortunately, I don't have anything by Nedra Johnson, so you can get a taste of her. But for anyone who was listening during International Working Women's Day, Nedra Johnson was had performed during one of the segments that was a tribute to Maua Flowers. So she was here in the studio and she did her thing, and you need to come check her out because she was excellent.
Yes, yeah, she's excellent. And one of the things that I love about her is, as excellent as she is as a musician, her work in the community, you know, parallels that. And I think that, for me, the thing that's attractive to that I'm attracted to the blues about is that work, that rebellion, and you see it in Nidra's outside work, or you know, the work that she does politically. It matches that, and for me, that epitomizes what this music is all about.
Yeah, as I'm going to be talking about later with Professor Johnson, a lot of the women artists, blues artists, were not all the blues artists we're talking about. My man done left me. But even, you know, like you were saying, if he left,
man,
it's like,
I'm going to buy me a pistol as long as I am tall.
Right.
Although we don't want to quite go
we don't condone that. We don't.
This is your Peace and Justice Radio. Right.
Your man leaves, you get a woman. We're not condoning that. You know, we're not condoning that either.
All right. Well, excellent. So, let's see. I can tell the people where the production and what time and everything is, or you can tell us.
Sure.
Why don't you tell us? Well, it's one night only, and that's it. You know, you got to act fast.
And tickets are going really fast. And it's April 30th. The pre-show starts at 6 p.m., and we suggest getting there early. And open bar.
The open bar is at 6. The pre-show is at 6. We suggest getting tickets ahead of time. You can get tickets online. However, if you're not coming to the pre-show, you should arrive by 6:45 because we are really selling out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Thursday, April 30th at the Center, which is 208 West 13th Street.
Excellent. Well, peoples, Renita Martin.
Yes.
Ione Lloyd.
Yes.
It was nice having you on Sugar My Bowl.
Thank you, thank Jen. You. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for giving me the idea, because it was like I was chatting with Ione on Facebook, and
love Facebook.
Actually, Ione was on WBAI before on Wake Up Call with Raydon Chung.
Yes.
And another production that was at the Lesbian and Gay Center. As a matter of fact, before we close out, I know you mentioned the position that you have at the Lesbian and Gay Center.
Yes.
But tell me, what is it officially called and the title? And
Officially, it's called a dramaturg. So what I'm doing for them is I'm helping them select scripts. So I'll make a recommendation. Mm-hmm. So it's not my final word. And I always have an eye for scripts like Granita's that, you know, it makes you feel an ache. It makes you have a physical response. And I am very interested in work for, by, and about women of color. You know, however, the cultural programs there does a range of programming.
And the piece that you did with Raydon Chung was?
The piece that I did with Raydon Chung was before I was doing script selection. I came in as a playwright, and that was a piece that I'm the author of called Black Tail. And it was amazing, about 12 women in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. And it was a modern day fairy tale, because black girls deserve fairy tales too.
All right. And unfortunately, well, this could be a lesson. I wasn't able to get into that one.
I know, girl. I'm so sorry, girl.
But this ought to be a lesson to those who are interested in seeing this production. You better go. Blue Fire on the Water. That's at the Lesbian, Gay, Bi, Transgender Center at 208 West 13th Street. And for reservations, and you can go to www.gaycenter.org/node/3051, or you could call 212-620-7310.
You could go to our website, Revisions Production Company.com, and it'll give you a direct link, and you can find out more about the work that we do in communities of color also, and join our mailing list, and we'll hook you up.
Well, that's even better. What is that again, the site?
Revisions Production Company.com, and it's RHYTHM.
Right. Visions Production.
Mm-hmm. Visions Production.
And hit me up on Facebook. I love Facebook friends. I need me some more.
That's Ione, I-O-N-E, Lloyd, L-L-O-Y-D. So that's where you'll find her. You go to Facebook. Yeah. That's how I found her. And you will be kept abreast of new productions that are going on.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you for coming by, and thank you for the cookies.
Thank you.
And stay tuned for Professor Maria V. Johnson. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Stay tuned.
I'll make you menfolk treat us women like you do. Ooh, da, 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 da. I'll make you menfolk treat us women like you do. Da, 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 da. I don't want no man that I got to give my money to. Ooh, da, 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 da. Throw me a leather, never nothing but a no. Ooh, da, 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 da. Throw me a leather. Give a nothing but a no. Da 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 da. Throw right back and told him, man, I ain't no dilly go. Da 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 da. Give my man everything from a diamond ring on down. Give my man everything from a diamond ring on down. Ooh, da 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 da. Next thing I'm gonna give him 6 feet in the cold. Cold ground. Da, 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 da. You can never tell what an old, old man can do. Ooh, da, 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 da. Never tell what an old, old man can do. Ooh, da, 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 da. Keep your eyes open, girl, cause he'll put that thing on you. Da, 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 da. Cause you ain't even got a papa. Ain't no single that you can be at. Ooh, la, da, 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 da. Cause you're even got hot papa. Ain't no signal that you can't be had. If I put this thing on you, baby, gonna be just too doggone there. Mighty hard for you women to keep a real good man nowadays. Ooh, la, da, 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 da. Mighty hard for you women to keep a real good man nowadays. And these little young chippy gals got so many doggone different ways. Ain't no one did more for you than the good Lord ever done. Did more for you than the good Lord ever done. Put clothes on your back. You know darn well you wasn't born right now.
All right, that was Gladys Bentley. Yeah, I found a recording somewhere. It's Gladys Bentley singing Worried Blues. Yeah, so let me throw in a little something else before we get ready for our conversation with Professor Maria V. Johnson. Let's do that.
Let me talk to you. Let me talk to you.
Are you willing? Do I groove you? Is it thrilling? soothe you? Tell the truth now. Do I move you? Are you loose now? The answer better be yes. It pleases me. Are you ready for this action? Does it give you satisfaction? Are you hip to what I'm saying? If you are, pleases me. When I touch you, do you quiver from your head down to your liver?
Listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. This is Sugar in My Bowl, the April 20th edition. Stay tuned for some important information. Let's see. Come on, information, be important.
On April 22nd, Bolivian President Evo Morales Ayma will deliver an historic speech in Harlem at the Salem United Methodist Church. The Bolivian government seeks recognition for April 22nd as Mother Earth Day, an initiative that will promote the right of humankind to live in health and harmony with nature. President Morales' speech will be simulcast live on WBAI 99.5 FM, along with hosts Teocasin Ghost Horse of First Voices Indigenous Radio and Mario Murillo of Wake Up Call. Mother Earth Day would bring an indigenous approach to current Earth Day celebrations. WBAI cordially invites you to attend this event, which is being sponsored by the permanent mission of the plurinational state of Bolivia to the United Nations. Seating is limited and tickets must be reserved in advance. To reserve tickets and to receive further information, email admin@boliviaun.org. That's admin@boliviaun.org. Again, tune in on April 22nd from 6 to 8 p.m. to hear this historic speech by Bolivian President Evo Morales Ayma, brought to you live by WBAI 99.5 FM.
Yo, check this out. This is Chuck, your public enemy number one, the rebel without a pause, bringing the noise and fighting the power right here to the Sights and Sounds. That's right, Sights, 99.5 WBAI.
All right, that's right. You are listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. This is Sugar in My Bowl. Ooh, boy, that Evo Morales promo was long. Anyway, I couldn't resist. It was long, but it's important, and hopefully you'll be listening when we broadcast this presentation. On the line I have Professor Maria V. Johnson. Professor Johnson, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, yay. And Professor Johnson is, come on now. Okay, Professor Johnson is an associate professor of ethnomusicology in the School of Music at Southern Illinois University, Carbondale, and is the author of a paper that we're going to chat about, Jelly, Jelly, Jelly Roll, Lesbian Sexuality and Identity in Women's Blues. And also, Professor Johnson, would you like me to call you that, or Maria? Or
you can call me Maria. That's quite all right.
Excellent. Cool. Maria. Maria is an artist herself, blues artist. You want to share a little some about that, or
about the latter, or the
about your being a performer?
A performer, yes. Yeah. I play with a band, local band here called Loose Gravel, and I play piano, keyboards, guitar, and sing. It's a five women band, and we play a range of, everybody plays different instruments, and we play a range of music. I mean, I'm coming at it from blues and boogie-woogie, okay. And we do quite a bit of that, but there's a lot of other influences in there as well, coming from some of the other folks. And, we've been together. We celebrate our 10th anniversary here.
Oh.
But we made one CD locally, and we're talking about a second one. We do quite a bit of original stuff as well as covers.
Okay.
And, you know, the stuff that I bring to the band, I lose stuff. I want to, all my sheroes, make sure that the good songs get heard.
How did you come across, how did you decide to write a paper that focused on lesbian sexuality and the blues?
Well, the focus of my dissertation work had been on blues women, and actually the dissertation was interdisciplinary, connections between blues, women's music, and literature that that relates to the blues, kind of looking at some literary works as performance, and so it was an interdisciplinary thing, and Alice Walker and Zora Neale Hurston were some of the artists that the writers that I was looking at from a blues standpoint as well. I had been a student, a scholar of the blues as well as a performer for a long time, I was always drawn to certain aspects and the lesbian sexuality identity was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, I guess in a larger sense, the continuities that I see, the tradition, there is a definite tradition of, for lack of a better word, uppity women's blues, and I use that drawn from Sapphire, the uppity blues women, in your face, that goes way back to Ma Rainey, Bessie Smith, Memphis Minnie.
Now, for those who might not be familiar, Sapphire is a women's group?
Sapphire, the Uppity Blues Women, is a trio, a contemporary trio who have been, this is their 25th year, and
wow.
In fact, their last year recording. They just had performing, and they're all involved in other performance endeavors. And I think they thought, well, it's time to, move on to some other stuff. I mean, they're totally best friends and everything, and it's not anything having to do with that, but just, 25 years on the road doing this and making it a priority. But they've recorded several, I think, 7 or 8 albums together as a group on Alligator Records. And their last one, which they're touring behind this year, is Having the Last Say.
Mm.
And Gay Adegbolola is one of the members of Sapphire, the Uppity Blues Woman, who talk about. I mean, she's done a lot of bold recordings in her own right.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with her until I read your paper. I'm like, oh, okay. And apparently she's fierce.
Yeah, she's pretty fierce. Yeah,
it's unfortunate that I don't have any of her recordings, but there were a couple of clips on YouTube. With, I'm sorry, could you pronounce her last name? Gay?
Adegbolola.
Adegbolola.
Adegbolola, yeah.
Yeah, she is incredible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And her most recent, I mean, she's gotten more fierce as they go. And, you know, with her stuff with Sapphire, I mean, it's pretty, some of it's fairly out there. But when she's been, her latest solo endeavor, she's really, you know, out there. I mean, she had Bittersweet Blues came out in 1999, and that kind of, she kind of came out in that.
Oh.
And about a lot of things that were, you know, her sexuality also, I mean, there's some strong indictments of racism on there, but there are some on Sapphire's albums as well. Mm-hmm. But also, one song is about incest, and, you know, there's a lot of heavy stuff on there, mm-hmm. but also a lot of light stuff.
Right.
And the most recent one is called Gay Without Shame. And if you want to, you probably haven't, if you haven't seen this one, heard it. I mean, it just came out this, you know, last year, I guess.
Oh, okay.
And it has some, I mean, very much harkening back to the tradition, but kind of adding her own thing. And I mean, she's quite the songwriter, and that's how she likes to think of herself, as songwriter first.
Mm.
But also a teacher, and I mean, she does lots of workshops, and the last several years she's been doing more of, you know, making sure. Well, actually, she says that she was inspired by that whole blues series that came out, like, what was it, 2003? It was the year of the blues.
Oh, the Martin Scorsese?
Yeah, the Martin Scorsese. And, you know, she was pissed that there was very little on women's blues in there. And
right.
so she kind of, from that, decided that she was going to, you know, rectify the situation, you know, as much as she could in terms of, so she started coming up with her kind of lecture. Actually, there are lots of video clips that she's put together, and she does that. And then she has a show that she does with Roddy Barnes. It's a duo, mm-hmm. which is very much in the old tradition and the old style tradition. And, you know, I guess depending on the venues, they can get pretty wild, too.
So just so this is clear for people listening, this is Gaye, G-A-Y-E,
yes.
last name.
Adegbolola, A-D-E-G, Adegba, B-A-L-O-L-A.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. And I believe she took that name in the late 60s. And it's, I can't remember exactly right at the moment what the significance, but I know it has to do with, you know, being a strong woman.
Excellent, and she certainly seems to be one.
Yes.
To sort of back up the conversation for a bit, in your paper, you mentioned Gladys Bentley, and we were talking earlier about Gladys Bentley, and a performance is loosely based on her life. How did you become familiar with Gladys Bentley?
Well, I was very interested in hearing the earlier part of the show, and that show sounds fantastic.
Mm.
Well, you know, in my research, I mean, there were some articles. I think one of the articles that I came across, I had already heard of her, but I was looking for material, was, let's see, it's in my bibliography here. Eric Garber, 1988, Gladys Bentley, the Bull Dagger sang the blues. It was in Outlook. And, I mean, I think there's been several since.
Sure.
But, you know, I was struck by some of the early recordings, and the recordings themselves, you know, there was nothing overtly, you know, gay or sexual in them. But, I mean, it was easy in knowing her to kind of read them in that way. Plus, there was footage, not footage, but Langston Hughes was a big fan of Gladys Bentley, and he wrote some about her. And, you know, I guess she had a club. She had her own club in Harlem, and he was, you know, one of the regulars there because she played, I mean, she ran the club, but she also was the entertainment, and, you know, pretty much she was the one-woman band, you know.
Right.
Stomping her foot and, you know, playing the piano and singing, and she would do her own trumpet fills.
Right. Yeah, I played one of her recordings earlier.
Yes, yes. And so, and then, you know, he talked about it, you know, that she would do renditions that, you know, you didn't get recorded, you know, of some songs that were made to for the moment, you know, as in the blues tradition. But, you know, and then the photographs of her and the stories about her getting married to woman in Harlem.
Right.
And then there were later stories. Unfortunately, I don't know that I wrote about this in my article, but, you know, in the 50s, in the conservative 50s, McCarthyism era, basically she came out in a, I think it was Ebony, to say, you know, basically saying she, you know, had recovered. You know,
yeah.
And she was no longer, you know, that way. And, I mean, you know, sad, different times. And you know, I think that she died, you know, not that much later than that, in the late 50s. Yeah. So, but she had her moment.
Yes. Well, she apparently found spirituality. And hence she denounced being out.
Well, institutionalized
right.
religion of a certain kind.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
There's plenty of people that can find spirituality and reconcile with that, you know?
That's true. I should have thought about that when I said that, because I do know of organizations that are very spiritual as opposed to organized. And they promote people being, you know, themselves, being out and proud and, you know, whatever you're, you know, you are.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a big issue in a way, even going back to Ma Rainey and Bessie Smith in that era, because, mm-hmm. I mean, there were a lot of, even though there was a, you know, substantial portion of the community, especially, you know, middle class, that, you know, denounced the blues as the devil's music and
right.
all that. But there were plenty of people that were at the Saturday night functions and they're at church the next morning,
right.
you know. And, I mean, you go back to West African philosophies and it's a continuum. I mean, it's not right. so, I mean, it's definitely European influence, this idea that there's this dichotomy between these two things.
Now, you also mentioned Jackie Moms Mabley. Now, by the time I heard of her, she was wearing, you know, she was an older woman.
Yeah.
And she looked like she was, you know, homeless practically. But you had indicated that she wore sporty suits and ties.
Jackie Moms Mabley?
Yeah, that's in your paper anyway. Yes, you have Gladys Bentley and Jackie Moms Mabley, handsomely sported suits and ties.
Are you sure I'm not thinking about Big Mama Thornton had a,
okay.
would wear suits later on.
Mm-hmm.
After she lost a lot of weight, she would wear these big suits later on. I don't remember actually writing about Maybelline there, but I do know that she did have some songs in addition to her comedy routines, and you know, some of the singers did do versions of the songs.
Okay.
But, yeah.
There's one reference that you have from Angela Davis that I thought that I probably that was this was probably the first thing I wanted to mention when we got on the phone. A quote says, "Women's blues provided a cultural space for community building
mm-hmm.
among working class Black women, mm-hmm. as well as a space devoid of bourgeois notions of sexual purity and true womanhood."
Okay.
And that's pretty much my understanding of, you know, women in the blues in general.
Absolutely. And, you know, as Hazel Carby says, another
yes.
writer on the blues in her article, it just leaves that way sometimes.
Right.
Sexual politics and women's blues. She points out that basically, you know, while Black women writers were writing, you know, kind of had very different, you know, sort of middle class orientation on, I mean, didn't want to deal with sexuality at all because of the history and because, you know, the sort of demonization, pathologization and stuff like that. You know, she says basically you have to look to the blues to see the continuance
mm-hmm.
in that era, you know. And, I mean, there are writers like Zora Neale Hurston that I would argue do the same thing in terms of, you know, kind of celebrating the blues in that way. Yeah, I mean, Angela Davis's book is a wonderful resource.
Yeah, that would be, let's see, let me make sure I have the title correctly here.
Blues Legacies and
That's
Black
it.
Feminism?
That's
yeah.
it. That's the one.
Yeah.
So, let's see, there's something else I wanted to... which I'm glad I sent you the email. Sort of. Did you see my email, by the way?
I saw some emails.
Okay.
I'm not sure which one you're talking
about.
Never
mind. let's see. Ethel Waters. You listed some blues women, vaudeville blues women. Was Alberta Hunter and Ethel Waters included with Ma Rainey and Gladys Bentley?
Well, you mean in terms of blues women who were...
Their sexual identity.
Their sexual identity?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of... I mean, there's evidence or stories or whatever. Ethel Waters mm-hmm. was partners with Ethel Williams, another singer... And what was I going to say about well, Bessie Smith was, I mean, she was married, but she had things on the side, as well as did her husband. But, you know, he was away from the tours a lot of times. And, you know, they would have some parties, and sometimes he would come back and find things. But, and Ma Rainey, too, was known to have that. And,
right.
I mean, you read some things that they kind of were lovers at some point. I don't think that there's really evidence for that, but mm-hmm. I do think that you know, they collaborated on some things, and I'm sure that Ma Rainey was a mentor in some way to Bessie Smith. But yeah, Alberta Hunter too. I mean, she got married for about 3 minutes, got married, and the next day took off to Europe for a tour or whatever, and came back and divorced. But I mean, she was not, you know, she did have relationships with women, and they have some. But she was not out,
okay.
And so she didn't talk about that. But it is interesting because, you know, in terms of performance footage, the best performance footage that we have from blues women from that early era is Alberta Hunter's, the footage of her in the 1980s. You know, she got out of blues, and when her mom was sick and got into nursing and did this until she was who knows what, way past when she was supposed to retire. She always said she was younger than she was. And then, you know, someone found her and said, hey, you know, why don't you do some blues again? And she did. And so she had this whole second career in the late 70s and early 80s. And, I mean, she's amazing. Her voice was amazing. And to watch her, especially this one performance that I have of jazz at the Smithsonian, which, of course, is not the same context as, you know, back in the vaudeville days, but you can see just the theatrical aspect and the drama and the way she uses her face and she uses her body, and she, you know, the audience is kind of removed and not necessarily giving her that, you know, that call and response thing, but she, you know, she creates it herself, you know, with the band members and with the asides, she says, and the whole aesthetics of the performance is so clear in that example. You know, that I like to think of that as a, you know, a window into, you know, using our imagination, what performances would have been like, you know, and in terms of the connections, you know, with the audience. Because, you know, the blues women, I mean, from that age, I mean, they were considered blues royalty, you know, they were the queens, the empresses. But that did not mean that they were up on a pedestal. You know, that was, they were real regular, and people thought of them as relating directly to them. The status was not a class thing. It was not classing off at all, but it was about respect.
Right.
You know, the way they dressed with the wild feathers and you know, very individually. I mean, that's how, you know, Gladys Bentley wore ties. I mean, people, they all dressed out there.
Right, right.
But in their own style, you know.
Right. So with regard to modern artists, I had played Toshi Regan earlier, and you know, she's very much out and proud,
yes.
And comfy.
Yes.
And
Nedra Johnson.
Yes, and Nedra Johnson, who unfortunately wasn't able to join us this evening.
Oh, I just love her work. And if you want to talk about spiritual and the sexual coming together, I mean,
yes.
She is right there on the cutting edge.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
Yes. Oh, yes. I mean, I'm actually working on a book.
Oh?
That, I mean, I keep feeling like I'm jumping in. So I'm,
no, please.
Maybe you're not
getting
your questions
please.
In, and I'm sorry about
no,
that.
No, you're
just
perfect.
Interrupt me, please.
No. Go for it. Run.
Well, I mean, I'm just intrigued by this, you know, this whole show as it's been going, because, Nedra Johnson is one of my favorites and most inspirational. I think her, you know, what she does and what Gay does.
Mm-hmm.
And Candy Kane, I don't know if you've heard of her.
No. That was actually, I was building up to that question. Is she a current artist?
Yes, she's a current artist. She's from the Left Coast.
Okay.
And the San Diego area. And she her early life, she did a lot of sex work, not necessarily, you know, prostitution, but she was on the cover of, she's a big woman, mm-hmm. and, you know, did a lot of things like that. And what she, and then she tried to get into country music, and, you know, they, I mean, basically she was too upfront and honest and, you know, for that. And so,
for country music.
Yeah. Yes, and so she said, well, you know, basically doing the blues, she could be herself,
right.
You know. And but it's really interesting. One of the things I'm interested in is how artists, through performance, are basically creating kind of alternative community.
Mm.
You know, like the idea that community, that the space of a performance is a community or has the potential to be a community.
Uh-huh.
And using, I mean, what she does and what Nita does and what Gay does and what Gwen does in a big way is use, I mean, it's a combination of using the aesthetics, you know, like call and response, like, you know, personalization of material, like total involvement, and everybody's got to get involved, you know, using that, and, you know, also, you know, there's another technique in blues is like you can change your dress, you know, you talk to one and you talk to the other, and the songs themselves, they're just looking at them or hearing them, you don't necessarily know, but in the context of performance, you can see what's going on.
Right.
And you can, I mean, what I see is talking to, like, the men in the audience, talking to the women in the audience. It goes beyond what the song itself does and, you know, kind of creating dialogue or, and stuff that way. I mean, there's a lot that goes on with that. Candy does that. Denise LaSalle does that.
Ah, yes.
And, you know, and a big way, especially about sex, you know, mm-hmm. about, you know, addressing sexual needs, women, you know, and men talking and, you know, and making sure, I mean, there's a lot of great stuff in that regard.
Now, I hear you're very excited about this subject. Is this what the book is going to be about that you're writing?
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
You know, what I've finally come to is that, I mean, there are certain artists and certain songs and certain performances that are very compelling to me. And, you know, I'm finally realizing, like, where the common threads are, you know. And, I mean, I think the book is not going to be traditional, you know, okay, this and this and this and this. I mean, one of the things that I've, you know, been thinking all along and realizing that when people write about women's blues, they don't have this sense, is that there is this continuous tradition that goes on. People know each other. People recognize. People pay homage. People, you know, from Memphis Minnie doing, you know, her Ma Rainey blues just after Ma Rainey died, saying basically, you know, grieving basically the loss and saying she left little Minnie to carry on the songs. I mean, there is a sense of tradition. Gay looks back to the blues women. I mean, you know, but people don't write about it like that. I mean, first of all, women's blues gets marginalized, you know, in the scholarship, right?
Right,
in the
right.
journalism, too. And, I mean, it's suspect, first of all, because you've got these definitions of authenticity that basically say, you know, got to be, you know, rural, got to be, you know, poor, got to have had, you know, I mean, all this, you know, I mean, it's basically kind of a stereotype. I'm not that wasn't existed, but basically it knocks women off the map, vaudeville women, because they were on the stage, you know. I mean, oh, the stage, that means more popular realm or theater or whatever. So, you know, they basically, even the great film, which I love the film, and I use it all the time in my classes, While Women Don't Have the Blues.
The film about the, about Sapphire.
No, this isn't the
okay.
Sapphire film. This one actually is talking about vaudeville women's blues. And
okay.
Coco Taylor's in it.
Okay.
Talking about the significance of the vaudeville women blues.
Mm-hmm.
Even at the end, you know, there's an impression given that That's the end. Mm-hmm. The women had their heyday, and that's it. And there was a book that came out a few years ago that unfortunately perpetuated that.
Mm.
And, you know, and I won't go into that, but, you know, so the underlying thing of what I take for granted is that there's this tradition. And yet everything that I read is not recognized as such, you know. So that's sort of an underlying thing. But what I want to do with these performance aspects is, like, look at the way, it's like what uppity blues women are doing towards that's transformational. That's transformational on a personal level. You know, Gwen, with the live at IMA that I talk about in that other article,
mm-hmm.
It's all about her healing.
That's,
you know, she's singing to heal.
I don't think we mentioned her full name.
Gwen Avery.
Gwen Sugar Mama Avery.
Yeah.
Okay.
From the Bay Area, and she's, you know, still very obscure. I mean, she did have, there was a live at IMA, which is June Millington produced that,
okay.
And that came out in 93 or 4 as a cassette. It had very limited distribution. It was a live concert. When I first heard that, I thought, this is amazing, because, you know, she talks in between, and relates to the audience, and the way she does songs that are traditional but personalizes them to relate to her, the way she gets the audience involved as a way to, you know, empower the audience. This, the idea of, you know, empowering yourself and the audience, which I think goes way back.
Right.
But we don't have the performance footage to really, or decent descriptions that aren't, you know, racist, you know, mm-hmm. that we can get this from, you know, until today.
Right. Well, it's funny how this conversation has shifted from in women's blues in general to from lesbian sexuality and identity in women's blues.
But a lot of it, I mean, a lot of the artists that are, you know, that I've chosen.
Yes.
I mean, Gwen.
Mm-hmm.
Gwen Avery, Gaye Adegbolola, Candy Kane,
mm-hmm.
Deidre Johnson, those are going to be 4 chapters out of 7 in the book.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
So I'm sorry about it. To me, it's all part of the same, you know, identity.
Sure.
And being yourself.
Okay.
And, you know, pushing the status quo.
Right.
In every way. You know, and the sexuality spirituality connection is very important. To me, and I think in this situation, because, I mean, the blues, women's blues has always sort of pushed the envelope in terms of women's sexuality. You know, you got Ida Cox, One Hour Mama,
mm-hmm.
going back in the 30s. It's you know, pretty bold.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've got a lot of that, and, you know, some of it may have had to do with marketing, too, and, you know, what was selling and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Denise LaSalle, she pushes it all the way, you know, when she, if I don't holler, you know, lick it before you stick it, you know, snap, crackle, and pop, I mean,
right.
You know, and she talks back to the boys, you
right.
know, the male blues artists,
right.
is basically, you know, this kind of stuff, I mean, that's, you know.
Well, you mentioned one artist, Faith Nolan. I'm not familiar with her. Do you want to tell the WBAI listening audience about her?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Faith Nolan is a contemporary artist whose work goes back to at least the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
She is Canadian, African-Canadian.
Okay.
And I think Vancouver area, and she's very much involved in the political, you know, social change and in using her music in that way in different contexts, you know, back at home.
And that does seem to be consistent with artists who, in addition to the present day artists who are lesbian and expressing their lesbian sexuality, they're political.
Yeah.
They're all so political.
Yeah, well, and of
I
course,
mean,
yeah. Those are the ones I'm interested in,
yeah.
too, of course.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
the ones that are really, I mean, because that's, they're, you know, they're putting it out there. And,
right.
And, you know, and that's one thing Angela Davis talks about in her book. She says, you know, there's so many of the typical ways blues is talked about is like, you know, it's not political.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pointing out, well, it depends on how you define political.
Right.
Like, first of all, people don't see or not people, but, you know, I mean, the white male scholars who are the blues scholars for how long? And they actually, most of them came from jazz, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they, you know, all these strong women songs that are basically, you know, going against a lot of conventions about, you know, traditional, conventional gender roles and sexual, what's, you know, roles.
Right.
I mean, they don't see that as protest. I mean, that's protest.
Right, exactly. And that, too, is political.
You know, and then you've got Bessie Smith singing about, you know, Mr. Rich Man, and, you know, poor man's blues. I mean, it's, you know, I guess it would have to hit them over the head or something, you know. I mean, to me, the blues has always had that potential of,
right.
I mean, it's about self-expression, but it's always, you know, I mean, direct address. You know, there's so many ways in the blues. Like, your folks earlier were talking about,
right.
You know, the misconception is that it's all whining music. It's none
right.
of it. There's no self-pity. I mean,
right.
You're rare to find a blues that has anything like self-pity in it. And, you know, at least, for one thing, you're at least calling it out. You're telling it like it is. And you're talking, anything taboo goes. It's always gone. Without judgment, the blues rarely passes judgment. They say, this is how it is, you know. So they talked about what happened. Whether it was street walking, whether it was, you know, Mr. Charlie, and
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever it was, they were talking about it without judgment, you know.
Right.
And I think that's so important.
Well, Professor Maria V. Johnson, thank you very much for joining Shige Mabo. Is there something more you want to share with the listeners that? Because I really appreciated your scholarship this evening, your discussion. Is there something else you want to share with us?
Well, I guess I just want to put a plug for the listeners to listen to Nedra Johnson if they haven't.
Yes.
Testify and Nedra and, you know, from the opening song, Testify, you know, where she's challenging things in terms of, my baby's got sanctified booty, you know.
Yes.
I mean, and testify, I'm going to testify. I mean, talk about it. She's saying, I'm a spiritual person,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, this is well within. I mean, she's redefining, you know, it's there. Hail Mary in there.
Mm-hmm.
She's got some really great blues songs, too. On her, on Nedra, Mishfest Blues is got to be one of the greatest blues.
What is that again?
Mishfest. It's about you know, Michigan Women's Festival.
Oh, okay.
Where
okay.
she plays a lot, and I mean, it's just it's you just got to hear it. I mean, there's no one that can do a blues like Nedra Johnson. I mean, she's not. You know, that's the one thing. You know, come up against people want to define things in little boxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's the blues. Here's, but you know, I mean, so many of these artists. I mean, what qualifies them as blues? Well, they're steeped in that and can do that and know it. Like, you know, I mean, but they're doing all the same things. And all these musicians have always done other things. I mean, they've always done a range. You know, you do what you need to express yourself. You draw from where you, you know, can. And you know, putting boxes doesn't help anything. Gay's latest, I'll just give you a number, a couple of titles. Queer Blues, Boy in the Boat, and that, of course, is a play. There's the old song about Boy in the Boat.
Mm-hmm.
The boy in the boat being...
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Not quite a boy, but, you know.
Right. But in a boat.
But in a boat.
Yes.
And Tipping on the Down Low, Gay's got on this one, right?
Uh-huh.
And Deja Vu Blues. I mean, she does a lot of... And oh, she comes up with a new anthem. She says that there's no anthems, gay anthems, in the way that there are, you know, anthems for civil rights. And
oh.
She came up doing a lot in the new arts kind of era when she was in New York. And so she's got this I Ain't Ashamed, which is it's a great little thing.
By the way, are you going to make that article available for... I know, I'm sorry for cutting you off. But.
No, I think you know, this is good.
Are you going to make that article available for everyone to access at some point? Or?
Well, I would like to. You know what?
Okay.
I need to find out more about this because I think there's an initiative on our campus to try to do something that might be related to this. If I can, I will.
Okay.
And, I mean, we should tell folks where it came from.
Yes, it was in the, what was it? It's from a Women in Music.
Women in Music Journal, yes.
Journal of Gender and Culture.
Right.
Volume 7, 2003.
Yes. 2003, and the Gwen Avery comes from, had it right here a second ago. It comes from Feminist Studies, right? Oh, Frontier, a Journal of Women's Studies.
Okay, that's Pouring Out the Blues, Gwen Sugar Mama Avery, Song of Freedom.
Yeah, and that's Volume 25, Number 1, 2004.
Okay.
And were you able to find that one online?
Actually, I saw that one online, but I was focused more on this one.
Well, you know, this one, I mean, the problem is that if the next volume of, mm-hmm. of that journal
mm-hmm.
is indexed.
Okay.
But they didn't, for whatever reason, they started the next year.
Oh.
So, but I imagine some of this stuff will be in the book, too.
Okay, great. That'd be wonderful.
So.
Because if people didn't contact you directly, it was like, okay, how do we find it?
Yeah.
But it'll be good to know that it will be accessible
yeah.
at some point soon.
Yeah, and feel free to contact me directly, too, about any of this.
Oh, okay. You want listeners to contact you directly?
Sure, why not?
How should they contact you?
Why don't I give my email?
Please.
It's Maria, M-A-R-I-A-V, as in Virginia, J, at siu.edu. Yeah, I'd love to hear from folks.
That'd be wonderful. So give that one more time.
MariaVJ at siu.edu.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Professor Maria V. Johnson. I know, does that just sound
it's
weird?
It's Maria. That sounds okay. Like a mouthful, you know?
Well, thank you, Maria.
Yes.
It's been great chatting with you.
Yeah, well, thank you. This has been great.
And we got to do this again when your book is around.
I love your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great.
All right. Have a good night.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Maria Johnson, Professor Maria V. Johnson from college. It's from she's an associate professor of ethnomusicology in the School of Music at Southern Illinois University, Carbondale. And she had written a paper, Jelly Roll, Lesbian Sexuality and Identity in Women's Blues. And let's see, she had offered people to contact her. Let me see if I got this down correctly. Did I write it? Oh, no. Let me play this song and I'll get her email address to you in a second. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, Sugar My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones, and get a little woman singing the blues. Thank you.
There's no sun up in the sky, stormy weather. Since my man and I ain't together, keeps raining all of the time. Oh yeah, life is bare, gloom and misery everywhere. Stormy weather, stormy weather, and I just can't get my poor self together. Oh, I'm weary all of the time, the time. So weary all of the time. When he went away, the blues walked in and met me. All I do is pray the Lord will let me walk in the sun once more. Oh, I can't go on, can't go on, can't go on. Everything I have is gone. Stormy weather, stormy weather. Since my man and I, me and my daddy, ain't together, keeps raining all of the time. Oh, oh, keeps raining all of the time. See you walk away. walk away from me, yeah. Ooh. Baby, 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 I'd rather be blind.
Okay, I got to get up out of here. I hate to talk over this particular song. What you're listening to is Maz Swift, My Blues. And thank you, Maz, for making it available. What we heard before this, oh, yeah, I'm going to have to work fast. Okay, let's see. We heard Etta James. We heard a couple of cuts from Etta James. We heard I'd Rather Go Blind. And before that, from At Last, we heard Stormy Weather. And, let's see. Actually, both these recordings are from Chess. Yeah. So, let's see. Before that, we heard Aretha Franklin. And she calls it Just Right Tonight. And, that was Billy Preston on keys. Yeah, it's a mean key solo from Billy Preston. And that's her blues. And that we heard, before that we heard a conversation. We had a conversation with Professor Maria V. Johnson. And wow, that was cool. And I'll have to be talking to her again at some point in when her book is released. So we're going to go out on Mass Swift. And I won't be here next month, maybe not. Actually, there's going to be a fun drive next month during the third Monday. I may or may not be here. I don't know yet. But please give what you can. WBAI.org. And go to the... you know, the part where it says, give up your money. Actually, it's support WBAI. Go to that area and you can help us. You don't have to wait for the fun drive. And I'm going to be in the studio for a couple of seconds, so you can probably reach me at 212-209-2900 if you want to chat for a bit. Or you can email me at sugar. S-U-G-A in my bowl at gmail.com. That's sugar in my bowl at gmail.com. And we should be listening for the WBAI Evening News very soon. A rebroadcast of the WBAI Evening News. Stay tuned to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
The annual Hazana Film Festival in New York is commemorating its 10th anniversary, April 16th through 23rd. The festival showcases classics and premieres award-winning films from and about Latin America and the U.S. Latino community. The festival also stimulates audience-artist dialogue through panel discussions, workshops, and Q&A sessions with filmmakers, actors, and producers. Filmgoers can see more than 40 films from Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, Chile, Cuba, Ecuador, El Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Mexico, Paraguay, Peru, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. The festival offers many free or low-cost events. This year, the festival pays tribute to Cuban master Santiago Alvarez and Colombian filmmaker Luis Ospina. Films will be shown throughout the city, April 16th through 23rd. For schedules, you can log on to www.hffny.com or call the festival hotline at 212-946-1839. That's 212-946-1839.
This is Phil Donahue. I have 600 channels in my home, but 400 of them are selling the Bowflex machine. That's why I listen to WBAI New York.
This is Teokas and Ghost Horse, your host for First Voices Indigenous Radio. Join us on WBAI New York, Pacifica Radio, every Thursday at 10 a.m. The energies you will hear are always different, powerful, and not in the habits of entitlement, occupation, and ownership. First Voices Indigenous Radio on WBAI New York, Pacifica Radio, 99.5 FM, every Thursday at 10 to 11 a.m. It is the center of your radio digits, your radio dial, your radio scanner, and all you have to do is lock it in. They say if you repeat something three times, then one will remember it. So, First Voices Indigenous Radio, Thursdays on WBAI New York, Pacifica Radio, 99.5 FM. It's a privilege to be here.
Here's the book we've all been waiting for, Mumia Abu-Jamal's Prisoners Defending Prisoners versus the USA, dedicated to the heroic jailhouse lawyers working for freedom in the hellholes of U.S. prisons. Come to the gala book party sponsored by the Prison Ministry of Riverside Church and the Free Mumia Abu-Jamal Coalition on Saturday, April 25th at 4 p.m. at Riverside Church, room 411, the MLK Wing. There'll be a video with Angela Davis, who has written the foreword and opening performance by Academy Award nominee Impact Youth Repertory Theater, created by Jamal Joseph, Eddie Ellis, Ramona Africa, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., former long-term prisoner's brother Amin, and Mikel DeVoe, Paul Wright of the Prison Legal News, Pam Africa, and much, much more, including Wine and Cheese. Admission is free. Call 212-330-8029 or contact www.freemumia.com for more information.
Yo, check this out. This is Chuck, your public enemy number one, the rebel without a pause, bringing the noise and fighting the power right here to the Sights and Sounds. That's right, Sights, 99.5 WBAI.
Good evening. In the news tonight, the city reaches a settlement with Brooklyn youths arrested while on their way to a friend's funeral. The latest Bush administration torture memos give explicit details, but there's more that has yet to be made public. And is the federal government making any progress in dealing with the millions of pounds of pharmaceuticals dumped in waterways each year? With these and other stories, I'm Andrea Sears in New York, and this is the news for Monday, April 20th, 2009.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.